Today is August 28, 1984. I am Mana Irby and I'm interviewing Mary Hartwell at 606 Brewster Street. May I ask your name, please?
My name?
Yes, ma'am.
Mary R. Hartwell.
Could you tell me your age?
84.
84. Okay. When was your date of birth?
84 years ago, 1900.
Okay. Could you tell me about your family?
Well, I was born. I was the last of six children. And I was born in an old country house that was more than 100 years old. Every room in the house had a fireplace. We had nothing to heat with or cook with except wood. And we had even an old brick oven. That house is gone. My father and mother were both school teachers. And every one of the four of the five children started out as school teachers. But none of them stayed that way. I taught. I came to Bridgeport in 1921. Up to that time, I had never had an electric light. I had never had running water. We just lived in the country. And according to today's standards, I suppose they would call us poor. But we didn't know it. We didn't know it. We lived in the country. Our father and mother played with us. They devoted their time, what they could, to playing with their children and teaching their children how to be good citizens.
Could you tell me your mother's and father's name?
My mother's name was Emma and my father's name was William.
During your childhood, were there many, many things for you to do?
Well, up to the time I came to Bridgeport, we were busy taking care of the house, sewing rags together to make rag carpet, cooking. We had to make all our own bread. We had to do all our own cooking, everything. And we worked in the barn. We lived out in the country, and my father had a few cows. And we didn't have time to fiddle around the way they do today. We were busy. And my mother was busy mending our clothes and setting bread to make the next morning and all that kind of thing. And my father did his own butchery. We made our own salt pork, our own corned beef, our own dried meat, our own sausage. We did everything. We didn't have time to do nothing. But Father always had time to put up a swing for us out in the old big maple tree where we could play. And my father would come out and play catch with us at night, or if he was too tired to run, I guess, we'd play swat tag. Then he wouldn't have to run so much. We had a good time. And we were out in the fields picking wild berries, picking various weeds that were good eating. We had milkweeds and cowslips and dock, and I don't know what we didn't have to eat. We raised our own vegetables and kept them. We knew how to keep them, and we raised enough onions so that we had onions to last all winter, and turnips, and potatoes, and apples. We were busy, and we picked our wild strawberries, and huckleberries, and blackberries. We had a good time.
Could you tell me the names of your brothers and sisters?
You want all their names? Oh, golly. There was Catherine, and Frederick, and Flora, and Sarah, and Chalmers, and me.
Were your parents employed at the time?
Oh, heavens. They were employed taking care of the kids. But as for working out, no. They didn't have time for that.
What ethnic background are your parents?
Well, we were... The name Hartwell is an English name. But I am about three-quarters Scotch and one-quarter English.
Did your parents come from another country?
My parents were born in this country. Our ancestors back in the 1600s probably came from England and Scotland.
Where did you live in the country part of Virginia?
I was born in New Milford, Connecticut. I graduated from high school in Watertown, Connecticut. And I came to Bridgeport in 1921. And when I came to Bridgeport, at the age of 21, I had exactly $50 to my name. That's all. And the willingness to work. And I was never without work.
What was education like when you were going to school? Was it?
I started school in a little country schoolhouse with grades 1 to 8 in that one room. We had one teacher for all of us. And I think that those teachers, plus what my father and mother did, gave us as good or better foundation for living and knowing what life was all about than what they have today. Our father would never do our homework for us, never. But he'd see that we did it. And if we needed some help, he would talk to us and talk all around the bush until we understood what we were supposed to do, then we had to do it. And in the evening, our parents would have certain books, and we would have to read, take turns reading. Each would read a paragraph. And if it didn't suit our father, we had to read it again. Now, he sounds kind of strict, doesn't he? But,
he's only doing that for the benefit of you.
He was the best playfellow we ever had. And the biggest tease that ever lived.
What groups or activities were you in while you were going to school?
We didn't do so much of that in those days. We didn't have time. We had to walk a couple miles to and from school. Then we had our homework to do. And they had a few ball games between high schools. But group activities as such, you might say, didn't exist. We had too many other things to do.
Too busy to attend.
Too busy working and doing the things. We had to learn to sew. We had to learn to make some of our own clothes. We had to learn to bake. All those kind of things. When I was 10 years old, I was making bread. Doesn't sound very exciting, does it?
You didn't go outside and play afterwards. What was the percentage of ethnic groups that went to your school?
Oh gosh, I don't know everything. One of my special playmates was a little black girl. And we had Polish and a little bit of everything, I guess.
Do you remember World War II?
I knew two veterans from the Civil War. I was in high school during the First World War, and I spent one afternoon a week doing making clothing for the Belgian children. When it got to World War II, I was working. And I was working here in Bridgeport at the time. I was working for Manning Maxwell and Moore over on Kossuth Street. They were. And by that time, I had worked myself up to assistant credit manager, and I was too busy doing things, getting material out to manufacturers and so on, to do anything else. In the First World War, there were some of my pals that were married over in France in the Second World War. There were various ones I knew who didn't come back. What do you want to know?
Do you remember the Depression, the bread and soup line?
Do I remember the Great Depression? My salary got cut little by little till I was earning $65 a month only. I remember the Great Depression.
Do you remember the bread and soup lines?
What?
The bread and soup lines.
Yes. But I never saw very much of that because I had a job, and with care, my $65 a month covered my expenses, and I didn't have to join the soup lines. But I know a lot of people had to.
Was it rationing?
Oh, yes. Yes, sugar was rationed, meat was rationed. Butter was rationed. Everything pretty near was rationed. Gasoline was rationed.
Did your parents lose their jobs?
My father owned his farm. He was not employed. My mother died way back in 1916. And when I finished high school, the men had all gone into the factories where they thought all the money was, and I had to go out in the fields and work. My father was up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go out and feed the cows. By 5 o'clock, I was out there, and every day I lugged a ton of silage to his 20 cows. Then I came back in and got breakfast for the two of us. He and I were alone in the farm at that time. And after that, my father, out of clear blue sky, I had graduated from high school. Out of clear sky, my father said to me, "Mary, what are you going to do?" And what am I going to do? "Well, I suppose I'd stay right here with you." He said, "That is the one thing you cannot do. When I die, I want to know that every one of my children are self-supporting. I'll give you 6 months. Decide what you want to do and do it."
You had a great father.
I had great parents. That's a picture of them with the two oldest children. That little girl I married 5 years ago at the age of 94. The little boy I married 2 years ago at the age of 95.
Can you tell me about the Korean War? Do you know anything about the Korean War?
Let me see, that was later. I've been retired 25 years. And I've been so busy I haven't been in that kind of thing. But I remember the Korean War, yes. And I remember all of them.
What changes occurred during World War II? Did women get more jobs?
Sure. Sure. Everybody got more jobs. And they got more money than they knew what to do with.
Can you tell me about the neighborhoods of Bridgeport? Do you know what kind of people lived on the North End?
I never lived up in the North End. I've always been a West Sider. But during that era, we were living down on Ironton Avenue. And down in, then we moved down onto Worden Avenue just below State. And they were very nice people. Right on Ironton Avenue, right across the street from us, was the French teacher in Central High. And a dentist, and I don't know what. They were a very nice class of people. And when we moved down onto Worden Avenue, we were in a community where there were a lot of French Canadians and Romanians. A little church on Lee Avenue was a Romanian church, and they sold that. I don't know who has it now. And the Romanians built their new church over on Clinton Avenue.
What church did you attend?
I attended the, at that time, I attended the First Methodist Church when it was down at the corner of Fairfield Avenue and Broad Street. Right on that corner, Fairfield and Broad, there was the Methodist Church where the parking lot is now. Across the street, south, on the corner, was Trinity Episcopal Church. And just a couple doors up Fairfield Avenue was the Universalist Church. They were right in a heap there. And St. Augustine's has been right where it is ever since I've been in Bridgeport. But the churches had moved out. And the First Methodist, where I went down there, is now Golden Hill, up at the corner of Harrison and Golden Hill.
Could you tell me anything about Seaside Park?
Seaside Park. I used to go down there quite a lot. Loved it. When it was safe to go there. And many a time in hot weather, people would go down there and sleep on the grass. People like you and me. And they felt secure. And folks would go down there and spend the day with picnics and all kinds of things. It was, Seaside Park was a family park, a nice family park. But gosh, I wouldn't dare even go down there now.
What type of bathing suits did they wear when you were about in your 20s?
Oh, back in those days, they covered themselves. I didn't have a bathing suit. I never learned to swim. When I was a little girl, I used to put on my brother's outgrown overalls, and we played in the brook or in a pond that wasn't too far away. But back in those days, down at the park, people had, they were covered. They had tops with sleeves and pants and a skirt. Some different, huh?
Yes. Do you know anything about Pleasure Beach?
I was over at Pleasure Beach several times, but that was way back in its heyday, and I haven't been over in that area in years and years.
Can you tell me about the times when you were there?
Oh, they had merry-go-rounds, and they had, gosh, that goes way, 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 way back. They had merry-go-rounds and all kinds of amusement things over there. And we used to go over, not on a bridge, but a boat that took us from Stratford Avenue Bridge around there. I think it was Stratford Avenue Bridge that came in. It was over there somewhere, and we'd go around by boat.
Do you know anything about Beardsley Park?
I have been around Beardsley Park a lot. But that is a long time back, too. That was a beautiful place. I don't know whether their gardens are as pretty as they used to be or not. They used to have a beautiful greenhouse and a long arbor of roses. I don't know whether that's there now or not. Do you?
I think it's still there, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Were movies and shows popular to go in?
Oh, yes, movies were. We used to walk down to the West, what did they call that, the West End Movie House on State Street. Is that still down there? No, I think it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. We used to go down there quite a little. And we used to go down, there was one on State Street, down, I forgot the name of it, down towards Lafayette, not in that area there, down there somewhere. There was a good movie place there. We used to go once in a while. But we didn't go to those places too often.
What career did you have during your earlier years?
Well, I taught for 4 years. I taught shorthand and typewriting for Moulin Mallet Commercial School. After that, I taught in Knight High School when Central High School was City Hall. And I taught in New York City continuation school. I intended to go on and work into their regular high school down there, but circumstances at home changed, and I didn't want to get that far away from Bridgeport. So I came back here with my sister, and I got a job with Manny Maxwell and Moore, and I stayed with them for 34 years until I retired 25 years ago. And I went with them originally. I took a little just plain clerical job because I was planning to go back to teaching, but my pupils would all be starting in beginner's jobs, filing, things like that. And I had never had any experience. And I thought, how can I teach somebody to do something that I have never done and know very little about? So I took that job with Manning, expecting to keep it for, 6 months or a year or something, and then go back to teaching. But I stayed with Manning. I liked the work and I liked the people. And I didn't stay on filing very long. There was the collection manager asked for me. He wanted me to work with him. And then the collection manager got to be the credit manager and credit and collection manager, and I stayed with him and got to be his assistant. And then he went on vacation and had an accident, and that left me alone. And I took over his work and got to be the credit manager, where I had the say-so of who would get credit with the company and who wouldn't, who I would trust and who I wouldn't. And it used to amuse me. I never signed my letters. I never signed them very early. I always signed them MR. And I would write some company someplace or other and say, no, I won't give you credit. Send me a check for what you want. And, of course, I didn't say it, just those words. And they would call Mr. Hartwell.
Mr. Hartwell.
And I would get on the line. I want to talk to Mr. Hartwell. I said, I'm sorry, there is no Mr. Hartwell. This is Miss Hartwell. Oh. They would back right down. It used to amuse me so. But before I got through, I was in charge of the credit, not just here in Bridgeport and Stratford, but they had plants in Muskegon and down in Houston, I don't know, and up in Canada, and they were just starting one over in Switzerland. I had the responsibility of all of them. I enjoyed it, but I had a job that I knew some man would want bad enough to get me out of it. and I wasn't going to let him. So I retired as soon as I could see my bread and butter between Social Security and pension. And I have never regretted it.
What are your feelings about Bridgeport now?
I would like to be free to walk the streets of Bridgeport as I used to. I wouldn't go outside of this house after dark on a mat. There's too many hoodlums out here. There was a time when the Bridgeport Police Department, just a long time ago, was known and liked by all the traffic going through here. But today, when you can't drive through State Street without having somebody shoot you, or you stop at a traffic light and somebody comes and robs you, not just at night, but in daytime, any old time of day or night, I think that Bridgeport and its police department, I believe Joe Walsh knows his job, but I believe, going back a number of years before our present mayor, I think our police department has started to deteriorate, and it's high time somebody did something about it.
That's true.
And whether it's Joe Walsh to do it or somebody else, I don't know and I don't care. But it's high time. It isn't buildings that make the slums. It's people. You agree?
Thank you for all your information. You were very interested.
Well, I hope you get something out of it.
Thank you.